بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Once we were in Mina, Hazrat Jimur Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was addressing us. And there were great people like Barahul Haq Sahib of Hardoi also present in the Majlis, all listening very attentively. This is now just a day after the day of Arafat, or 2 days after the day of Arafat. Seated there, it's perhaps the first Hajj of many people, and their intentions to turn a new leaf, improve their life, and perhaps it is the saint of his time, the Buzurg of his time. Utterances that he'll make here now will be something very, very important. So we need to give him all ears, listen to him attentively. So Hazrat Rahmatullah started off. His addresses were simple, but it was meant for us to be reflecting. Not something very complicated and difficult, but for us to reflect, to think deeply, and to understand the destination. That's the whole thing. Rather than giving a very fantastic talk that can be awe-inspiring and can cause your hair to stand up and cause a chill in the spine, but by time you leave the masjid and come to the parking lot, everything is forgotten. Or after a day or two, everything is forgotten. So they want to give you something that may not be so powerful and dynamic, but that can last with you and can remain with you for a long period, can bring about a whole revolution in your life, whole change about. You're going in one direction and the direction needs to be revisited. So he explained an incident. The king of the time seen a dream. The gist of the dream was that he saw a big platter and all types and all varieties of fruit. All sizes, big, small, medium. Some green, some ripe, some medium, some big, some small. All sizes, all varieties and all types. In all that, he sees a platter, then he sees the fruit, and there is a cover over that fruit. And in the midst of all this, a knife comes from above and begins to cut off the fruit indiscriminately, whether it's green, whether it's ripe, whether it's full, whether it's half ripe. So indiscriminately it's just cutting off, it's just cutting and slicing all the fruit. The king got up with a shock, but in the middle of the night, who can he reach out to? He's turning and tossing around the entire night that I've seen this dream here, but this dream is telling me that there is some serious message here. And really I do not know what's the message. By the morning, he called some of his wazirs, some of his advisors. And initially, the wazirs told him that adghasu ahlam, it is just some freak thoughts, some of the things that you may be passing through the day. And this was just a reflection of what you had seen, what you've been doing throughout the day. But this was awe-inspiring. This was something that left a deep mark in his heart. So he wanted to discover what is this all about. And he gave the minister some time to think about it. After a week they come back, nothing. So the announcement is made, and I give you all a month to kind of try and discover what's the meaning of this dream. Nothing doing. Hence it made him think that these people are taking my message very, very casually and I need to be more serious with them. But then he says that I'm just giving you all 1 week. The entire town, the entire kingdom is announced that I'm just giving you 1 week. You don't discover this, then none of you can prepare any food in the home. Now it's a deadline, 1 week to meet the deadline. And we need to discover, unearth, what is the meaning of this. It's a fact that the king has seen it, but what's the meaning? He's taken it so seriously. In all this, the days are passing, and it is almost past the middle of the month. In fact, the month has already passed, and nobody can bring about the meaning. Now, that law had to come into effect. So the polices, the soldiers are all appointed in different points to ensure that nobody is lighting anything for the period. Olden days they were using coal stoves, so you could see the smoke running through the chimneys. So if anybody is burning something, you can make out straight away. So polices and security is right throughout the kingdom. In the meanwhile, one soldier is just returning after his service. He was out in service 1 year, 2 year period, and he's just returning. Ma, you know what? The whole period I've been eating boiled foods, unspiced, I'm an Indian. So, you know, it was a big kurbani for me to live like this. Very big kurbani. 1-2 years without any spice, boiled food and all type of foods. I can't manage. Whatever happened, I just managed, but now I need something spicy. I came with the dream, I came with that obsession, I need something spicy, you have to give it to me. So the mother says, Beta, you know what? I'm not just risking my life, I'm risking your life. Because the king has ordered, he'll behead. And the king has got that type of power, he's got that type of authority, unbalanced power they've got. Nobody is there to check him. So he will behead, and to set a lesson, he must do it. Ma, don't worry, I will take the blame on myself that I had prepared this, I just came back. So, persuaded, and it's the mother's love, you know. The mother does everything, anything and everything. Stupid also, she will do it for the child, just to pacify and comfort the child, she'll do everything. Hence, the food is being prepared, this person just sat down to eat. He's enjoying it with achars and all the spice that he didn't have for the period. Marcha and the achar and the masala, all that. Just at the half plate, and there the police were there. Yes. He was summoned by the king. So he appears in court and he asks for just a three day concession. Give me 3 days. Let me go. I'll find out for you. So the time period is over and 3 days he asks for. The king is He is restless. He wants the meaning. Come what may. He's broken the law already. He's asked us for a 3 day concession. So let it happen. But he is guaranteeing us that he will give us the meaning of this dream within a period of 3 days. He just wants 3 days relaxation. Give it to him. He goes out. First day is gone. Nothing doing. Second day, nothing doing. By the third day, just around Asr time now, Maghrib time, and the game is over. Just around Asr time, he goes past one house and sees a little girl, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and she catches his attention. This girl here seems a little bit strange from the rest of the crowd. There's something unique in this girl here. So anyway, he went up to this girl. She was all alone. Parents went around. Gee, girl, where's your father? Oh, he's gone. So what he does? No, my father, he adds soil to soil. So now, this really affected him. Now, okay, this girl has got something in her. Because he's talking in a different language, adding soil to soil. She's talking some type of a mysterious language, not an ordinary language. So she's got something else with her. There's something very mysterious, something very very, very unique in this girl. Alright, and then your mother, where is she? So she's not around as well. And what does she do? What's her profession? Ek, ek ke do karti hai. She doubles the singles. Now the mystery is mystery upon mystery. Doubles the singles. Ek, ek ke do karti hai. Anyway, it wasn't very long after that. and the parents had just returned. Whatever errands they were doing, they returned. So this musafir, this person, this soldier that just returned now, he is marveling. And in all that excitement, he's telling the parents, this is what happened. So what's your profession, by the way? Asking the father now. What's the profession, by the way? The father says, well, I am a hearse, I do all the Kabristan work. All the Kabristan work I do. To bury the dead. And I add the soil to the soil. You see, the essence of man is soil, right? In two respects. One is Adam alayhi salam was created out of soil, right? And then if you see the essence of yourself, it comes down to soil again, right? Because you either eating greens and herbs or fruit, whatever else, everything is coming from the soil. And you're either eating meat, right? And when you analyze that meat, also is coming from the soil. Because it's coming from flesh, and the flesh, how it's being made up, it's made from soil. From plants, and the things, eating the plant, transformation, whatever. Transformation process it's going through, it's coming into meat thereafter. But where it's all starting from the soil. So, adding soil to soil. But no, he is marveling at this wit of this girl here. And where her sight is, where her reasoning is gone, it's somewhere else, at some higher level, very higher level. Normal child can't speak like that, doesn't speak like that. This is some extraordinary child. And then the mother was also there, but what's your work? She said, well, ek ke do do karti hai. She is doubling the singles. Well, doubling the singles in two respects. Either she's a matchmaker, right, doubling the singles. And the other is that she's a midwife. Ek ke do do karti hai. She's a midwife. The woman was single. She was whole, right? Now she's doubled now. She was whole. She was one. And now she's doubled. Anyway, so he is convinced now that this is the right candidate. I must ask this auntie here, this girl here. She is being like a big dadi maya. So I must ask her, what is the mystery behind this whole thing? So this girl is saying, hey, cha-cha, don't be stupid. Such a simple thing you can't make out. Who the small little girl, 6, 7 years of age? But wits, understanding comes from Allah Ta'ala. The brains come from Allah Ta'ala. Really, sometimes you're in a fix, you're in a situation, and Allah Ta'ala just opens up the way. But that way, you didn't work it out. It was Allah Ta'ala that worked it out. In a business, in a venture, whatever it is, nothing was working out for you, and something just struck your mind. So who struck your mind? Allah Pak struck your mind. Say, no, just do this. And you go in that line and you don't turn backwards. But who struck your mind? Allah Pak struck the mind. So Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. The beauty of man is, he must acknowledge, he must learn to acknowledge with appreciation. Allah Pak, you made it happen. Hamari akal ke sapur kar dete to kuch nahi hota. If you had entrusted to us, entrusted this whole thing to us, we would not have been anywhere today. So his fortune is, he was keep on acknowledging with appreciation, acknowledging with appreciation, acknowledging with appreciation. He was doing this business, he was doing no business. There was problems, there was difficulties, unnecessary harassment in that business. And then Allah Ta'ala just inspired him, do this. He went into that direction, and then he's not looking backwards. He's not looking, but who made it happen? Allah Pak made it happen. So the beauty of mankind is, he must acknowledge with appreciation. Allah Pak, you made it happen. I was nowhere. And you made this happen. This is the one beauty of mankind, that he must keep acknowledging with appreciation. Keep acknowledging with appreciation. You look at your own self from the beginning to now, where you stand today. Where were you and how did Allah Ta'ala raise you up? To that level of perfection, where people are respecting you, you got a respectable job, you are focused, things are working out for you, everything is working out as though you're just slicing into soft butter. Now, how did it work out? Allah Pak made it happen. Just acknowledge it. It's not your akal, it's not your brains, not your intelligence, nothing. So the more you will acknowledge, the more you will appreciate, and the more advancement, you just progress. You keep on progressing. And the more you want to take the acknowledgement for yourself, you want to take the credit for yourself, you are losing. Allah Pak will show it to you then, you lose. I buy a new Porsche, right? And I give it to you. Right? But you're going for a honeymoon, so just take this Porsche, right? I bought this 5 million job, you take it. In 1-2 months you can take it. Now you got it for the 2 months and somehow you tried to force the papers onto your name. What will happen? The dosti is finished now. By exactly the same. This brains, this intelligence, this potentials, abilities, capabilities. Everything is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Now you're forging it. You're pretending as though you are the one. Now how disappointed does Allah Ta'ala feel? You feel disappointed. You feel that this person is doing namak harami. Don't you feel like that? That I gave him so much. Nobody will give something like a 5 million job for 2 months. Nobody will give it. Who will give it to you? And I gave it to him and this is what he's doing to me. So how disappointed does Allah Ta'ala don't feel that I have given him everything and then he wants all the credit for himself. He's not acknowledging. He's not respecting. He's not appreciative. So let me withdraw. Let me take it away from him. So this is the one good of mankind that he must keep appreciating as he's progressing. The more he's progressing, and the more he must cry to Allah Ta'ala, I was nothing. I didn't do anything. Allah Ta'ala, you made it happen. Allah Ta'ala, you gave it to me without any of my strife and struggle. Allah Ta'ala, let it continue also. Allah Ta'ala, you spoiled me so much. Allah Ta'ala, I can't do without it. After eating, you read this dua. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. Allah Ta'ala, for the time being, I have left this food. But I have left this food not because I don't want it. Because this is my capacity, I can't take more than this. But I don't say that I don't need it. Just now, it will be the next meal. And I will need it again, Allah Pak. I've just left it for the moment I've left it. But Allah Pak, I'm totally dependent. You spoiled me so much and so much and so much. Allah Pak, I am totally dependent. I need it. I'm just keeping it away. Just now, I'll be in need of it again. So Allah Pak, give it to me again. غَيْرَ مَكْفِينَ وَلَا مُوَدِّينَ We're not separating from this. We're not moving away from this. وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. We can't show an independent attitude of any of your favor. The smallest favor, Allah Pak, I can't show an independent attitude. The smallest favor in that food is that salt. Will you want to eat that food without that salt? The smallest little favor that you consider so insignificant. But are you prepared to eat that food without the salt? So all this was available to you, made possible to for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So within your heart you enjoy it with relish and also you acknowledge. Eat that good food. Achha khao aur achha kaam karo. Achha khao aur achha kaam karo. Kulu minat tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. Eat good. Allah is not stopping you from eating good. But then do good work as well. Eat good and work good. Eat good and work good. Don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Wala tusrif, don't forget Him. Don't waste, don't forget, don't be proud, arrogant, and don't get into show business and ostentation. Don't do all these things. Be humble, be respectful, enjoy it. The best, enjoy the best food, but don't waste. Don't show off, don't waste. Now you got a dawah and you're showing off, I can do my function so well. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited ta'am al-mutabari'een or mutabari'een. That type of food, one person is trying to impress upon the other, or you did your function for 100,000, I'm going to do it for 200,000. You did it for half a mil, I'll do it for 1 mil. See, I will do the decor like this, and I will do the meals like this, and I will do the tables like this. See? So Nabi Sallam didn't like this. There's no barakah, there's no good in it. He didn't like this type of things. So you do it, you feed, nothing wrong. Nabi Sallam encouraged you feed. Afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am. You make salam a custom amongst you. Feed people. It's alright. Friends, not friends. But feed. Afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am. But don't show. Don't show. Be simple. Be straightforward. Allah Pak will bless you with opportunities. Where you will be thankful to Allah Ta'ala for the last moment of your life. Allah Pak, you gave me the opportunity, I could feed this person, I could feed that person. One person I saw in Madina Munawara, such a pious person. I saw in Makkah Mukarramah, that person was a namazi, and that person was like this. Allah Pak, you blessed me with that opportunity, I could feed him. Allah Pak, I'm very thankful. He'll give you opportunities, but don't waste. Don't show off and don't waste. And don't consider it to be your own personal achievement.
Allah Pak, you wanted to bless me, you made that opportunity available, that you allowed my money to go in this cause. You wanted it, you could have allowed my money to go in waste. I could have become, that money could have become a curse for me, could have been cursing me. To Allah, that you made it happen, that this money is being spent, but in a way that it will bring down, bring out your pleasure, you will be happy with me. So anyway, one is acknowledgement. I'm showing you how to expedite your whole journey. How to expedite. For everybody is doing a shortcut. Right? Minimum time, minimum effort, maximum profit. That's the whole formula for business. What? Minimum effort, minimum time, maximum profit, no implications, legal or otherwise. Right? Anything else? Tell me anything else. Everything. I covered the whole formula of business, whole definition. No implications, legal, otherwise, shar'an, or whichever way, no implications. And minimum effort and maximum profit. You put 1 cent, you're getting 2 million rand for every cent that you put. No implications. Right. So that's what we're looking for. So Allah Pak inspires, alright? Let me show you the way. But then you apply yourself then. We will show you the way, but then you apply yourself. It's not just a single way. We will show and then you must apply. You show, we will show and you apply. So anyway, this girl seemed very, very cute. 6 years, 5 years of age, and she's speaking at this level. So he asked her, "By Betty, what is the meaning of this whole dream? You seem to be such an exciting girl. What is the meaning of this?" So the girl is saying, "Uncle, don't be so stupid, man. Let me tell you simply what's the meaning. See this, the platter, the bottom platter, is the surface of the earth. And the top cover is the sky. Right? And the fruit is the fruit of the earth. Right? The main control of the earth in the creation is who? The main person in this entire work is who? The main person in this creation? Mankind. Who's the main person? From the creation, who's the main? Who controls? Controls the wind, the skies. Who controls? Mankind, Allah Pak has given him that ability that he can control and lead every animal. See, a small child in India, maybe you've seen photos, right? A small little child, 7 years old, and he's leading a big elephant. India, you'll see it real. But who is controlling? Allah Pak has given him. Given him that ability to do it. So he can control a small little man, one pilot, and he's controlling a massive ship, thousands of tons, and he's moving it from one part of the earth to the other part of the earth. Who is doing it? Mankind has been invested with so much of power. Allah Pak has given him so much of abilities. One little man is doing it. So he is the main creation of this earth. Like the main reason for you planting that fruit tree was what? The fruit. So the main person in this entire work, the main person in this entire work is man. If it wasn't for man, then there was no need to create this. So the whole thing has been created for you. You're the main person here. What makes you understand that you're the main person is if you kill a man, then you can be killed. Any other creation, you won't be killed. Kill a dog and they'll give you a fine, right? But they won't kill you for that. Kill a dog. But if you kill someone, then they will kill you, right? That's the right punishment. Now they give life sentence. But what I'm saying, if any other creation, camel, sheep, goat, dog, anything you kill, cat you killed, it's alright, what are those things? If someone spent, perhaps they will charge you, that's the maximum they can go. But what's the main creation? Man. Therefore, if you kill man, that's a big, big crime that you've committed. He's the main, he's the reason for this entire creation. For him, Allah Ta'ala created this whole thing. So this girl is saying that this fruit is mankind, right? And mankind, you get all sizes, fat, short, long, tall, white, blue, green, all sizes, all colors, all complexions, all types you'll find. But the knife of Malakul Maut is indiscriminate. Comes for the tall, comes for the short, comes for the big, for the small, for the aged, for the young, for all it comes, one and all. It doesn't say now, this person, you know, hey, he just got one child now. Now, let him at least enjoy his child and then I will take him. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. No delay and no advancement. Time is up at that precise moment we will take. No delay in that and no advancement. That's the nature of death. That's the nature of life. You can't appeal to the empire. He says the game is up. You can't, there's no appeal. No application. You can't ask him for any type of a discount. You can't ask him. No. It's non-negotiable. Malakul Motu says it's non-negotiable. Finish. End of the story. We can't negotiate this. One friend of mine was here. So he's explaining that there was that Midmar mile some 2-3 weeks back, you know. So some connection of his had come from Johannesburg. Young girl, 13, 14 years of age, and she came to participate. So he'd been discouraging them, but now you're of age now, 13 years of age, 14 years of age. So you're of age already, and you can't be exposing your body like this. Not permissible for you. Anyway, he explained to her once and twice, but they won't listen. So what else can he do? Some relatives, we have to entertain them. And the furthest he could go to explain them, but don't do this thing, not the right thing. And if she won the race and all, she got all the trophies and the prize and whatever medals she got. And happily with all the medals, all that celebrative mood, the returning. Somewhere on the way, there's an accident, head-on, spot dead, she died, finish. No celebration here. In this life, no celebration in Jannat. Because Allah can ask you, what were you doing? قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. But Allah will ask, قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. What were you doing? What were you doing? See? And I warned you already. This man warned you already that this was going to happen. Man, she's spot dead, finish. That is such a critical moment you can't reverse. Gone is gone. You can't reverse it. You know, I had one friend in Spingo some 29-30 years ago. So he had his first grandchild. So he was excited. His grandchild is about to come. He'll tell me now, Pocha, meet me at Fajr time, he'll tell me. Anyway, the grandchild is born, all excitement, wealthy person, all everything you can think of, he's got. Now, in the next hour, he phones me, the child is born, but he is now on the life support, on the ventilator, and I've got 14 specialists, some liver specialists, kidney specialists, heart specialists, all specialists, look at the child. So, well, but the most you can do is dua to us. But in the next hour, the child is gone, class. So when that moment comes, that fatal moment comes, try what you want, you appoint who you want, what can they do? Nothing. Who can overtake the plan of Allah Ta'ala? It's the plan of Allah Ta'ala. It's the system of Allah Ta'ala. Can anybody overtake that plan? Can he bypass that plan? He can't. You will try, not that you will not try to help and to save, to resuscitate. You will do all this. But Allah Pak wants to show you and impress upon us, by you try what you want, it is me that calls the decision. I make the decision. Your luck and your fortune is that you prepare for this fatal moment. That's your luck. That this moment, you are walking towards this moment, you are working towards this moment. And there is no discrimination, there is indiscriminate. I will take you in advance, I will take you when you are young, I will take you when you are middle aged, but I will definitely take you. So your work, your fortune is that you must remain prepared at any time. Any time, but you remain prepared. Now people will say after that, he's such a young person, he went away, and whatever else they will say. But they can't recall the mayat. It's gone, they can't reverse it. So your fortune is then you wait for that moment, you work for that moment, you walk towards that moment. That worker, what is he looking at? He's looking at the end of the month, the culmination of his efforts. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the culmination of my effort. I'm doing some business. It's a Christmas period. So at the end of the period, what are you looking at? The culmination of my effort. I worked so hard for this 1 month. I worked so hard. I want to see I did this business. So what have I made for this? What have I made? I did so much. I worked so much, I put so much of effort, so much of overtime I did. So I want to see what was the culmination of my efforts. Exactly that should be the mindset of the believer. That now as the time is approaching, that fatal moment is approaching, then what is the culmination of my effort like? I should be enthusiastic towards it. وَشَوْكًا إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ وَشَوْكًا إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضَرَّاءَ مُضِرَّةٍ وَلَا فِتْنَةٍ مُضِلَّةٍ. Allah, don't get me involved in any fitna and without any pain, but I must come to that end. No fitna, no pain. And you take me smoothly, take me away from this. مِنْ غَيْرِ ضَرَّاءَ مُضِرَّةٍ وَلَا فِتْنَةٍ مُضِلَّةٍ. I don't get involved in problems and difficulties and fitnas like you see nowadays. And I don't get involved in some type of a disaster, chronic sickness, illness, that becomes difficult for me and the people to take care of me. So Allah, you exempt me from this. Take me away and take me smooth. Is there anything difficult? Is there anything impossible for Allah? Nothing impossible for Allah. There must be some reason why the hadith says that the most intelligent person, أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ. He is in preparation. The child that is working for his matric, right? He is preparing from the first day that he is sitting in the class, he is preparing. Assignments, work, what I need to refer to, what library I need to go to, I need to get some tips. Ask the ex-matric boys, what must I concentrate on, how must I concentrate on. And this subject, I need a little bit of attention, mathematics, whatever. I need a little bit of attention, what must I do? What books I must refer to? So he's preparing from the first day. So when it's the time of exams, then he's relaxed. He's calm. He's comfortable. He's playing rugby also. Very relaxed. Very comfortable. For all that period he worked. For that every moment he worked. Now that last moment, now he's relaxed. He's going. He's looking forward to the examination. Perhaps that examiner may say, you know what? This paper actually, even the examiners cannot write like you have written. They must pass that type of a comment that the examiners also cannot write like to the standard that you have written. So this is the thing that will expedite this whole journey, this aspect of reflection over death. You know, we want something to expedite, something to fast track this whole thing. Before, you want to get that one tape transferred to the other tape, take you half an hour, 1 hour, slow motion, other thing going. Huh? Now the CD, 1 second, and one thing is just transferred from one to the other, right? So doesn't it happen in the computer? 1 second, the old book, so big book, 20 volumes, and 1 second, one time that the whole thing is transferred from one place to the other, one disc to the other disc. So it's that zamana that we are living in. We want to expedite, we want to move it fast. So the hadith is showing us one way that will expedite this whole journey. Two things that the hadith is showing that will expedite, it will fast track this whole journey. One is the recitation of the Quran Sharif, and the second is reflection over death. In Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he's got a statement there. Ar-Rahabut khayrum min ar-Rahamut. One is to say, buy you a good boy, man. Work for your exams. Good, nice boy. I'll buy you a chocolate, buy you some sweets and all that. So you inspire the child with a little bit of affection and encouraging. And the other one is, you know what? If you want to fail, I'm not going to support you. You won't work in the streets. I'm not care about you at all. I've supported you and I've supported you enough. But that's the limit. I can't do beyond this. You make it or you break it. It's your problem after that. You tell the person now, right? You're driving on this road. You drive very well. At the end of the road, we'll give you 1,000 rands. Right? Give a competition. And you say, boy, you break any of the laws. And we got speed cops here that don't entertain any type of side talk. No bribery, no corruption whatsoever. They won't even talk to you. They don't need to talk to you because everything is camera. They can't. It's impossible for them to talk to you, to negotiate anything. Any tea money or coke money, they got nothing. Not negotiable. And they would spot, not only spot fine you, they would take you, arrest you straight away and put you into prison. Tell me which is more effective, the 1,000 rand or this 1 year, which is more effective? Ar-rahabut khayrun min ar-rahmut. Many a times, for most people, this warning is more effective than just having an encouraging note. You are very good, man, very good. You must do this, man. One doctor was explaining to me. Now you get this modernist. Now the modernists, they got their own style, own thinking now. Where they get the thing from, Allah Pak knows. I'll come to that story just now. But before that, let me see you some other story. You get this, one is the modernist, they got their own brains, own mindset. Now there's another modernist, and it's not good to quote the statements all the time. But you must be alert, you must be knowing what's going on. What is cutting, what is happening, you must know. Why you should know that you don't get caught into a system that is alien to Islam. Now you hear this type of statements and then you want to follow it, you want to emulate it. You feel that it's good. Now they are saying the type of things that are talking in these big companies, conglomerates and all, corporates, what they're talking about. They say, you know what, you must embrace everybody, you must share your lunch together, you must embrace and don't be isolated, be together and be united and embrace and shake hands and, you know. So this is the type of story they are giving, right? So that people may not think that you have a different agenda. What they say? You embrace, you eat together, share your lunch, go out for together for lunch or something. So that people may not say that you are going out, you have another agenda. In the meanwhile, in the workplace, there's everybody, girls, boys, everybody's there. Now I ask you, if you are embracing someone else, right? And then your wife has to see you in all these myths. Won't she say that you've got a different agenda? They're saying that you must eat and mix up and embrace everybody, all that, whatever else, become one big party, one madhouse, right? You become one big madhouse. If your wife sees you in that rush, won't she say that you've got a different agenda? They will definitely say you've got a different agenda. You can't be doing that. It's like a little bit of, it's a mad world. Really sick, sick, you know, sick to the core. One is sick, a little bit sick, just give one Aspero, Panado and get the person right. Now it's so sick, you know, that they consider the sickness to be health. They're so sick that they consider the sickness to be health. In one country, the king had a dream. Talking of dreams today. There's going to be a rain and nobody must be drinking of that water. Anybody drinks of that water, he'll go mad. Go off. So the king made big announcement, put posters everywhere, billboards, big announcement over the radio, television, everything. Murthy was drinking water. Because anybody who drink from this water, he'll go off. So anyway, now it rained. And everybody began to drink. The only people that left and abstained was the king and his minister, his advisor. So the whole town went mad, all off. Just the safe persons were the king and his minister. So in all this drama, now these people are seeing that the king and the minister has got a different type of a character and way and mannerism, and we are different. So they all plead to Allah Pak, the king and the advisor all gone mad here. Allah Pak, give them shifa. Give them shifa, Allah Pak. Now they went on and on and on with the king. They came up to the hilt. So the king is trying to advise the advisor, we rather drink this thing here and become part of this madhouse. Otherwise, they will think that we are really mad. Now they drank and they became mad. Now say, Allah Pak, your shukar, Allah Pak, Allah Pak, shukar hai, tumhare shukar hai. We praise you, Allah Ta'ala. At least they came right, these people. So now this is how this whole mad world is functioning today. That if you are mad, then you are right. If you are bad, you are right. And if you are right, you are wrong. If you are right, you are wrong. And you are wrong, then you are right. Unless and until you don't toe the line, then you are wrong. You must toe the line. You must be with them. You must be with the party. Then you are right. And if you don't, you're not with the party, then you are wrong. This is the difficult situation that we are caught up in today. So we're talking of death today, by the first puzzle of Allah Ta'ala. And I said, the path is long, but one way to fast track this whole thing, expedite the whole thing. before traveling was a difficult task, right? Traveling from here to Johannesburg, perhaps, say, 200 years ago, it may have taken you at least about 7 days. Now in an hour you can reach, 45 minutes, Durban to Johannesburg, you are there already. So it's in our nature now, we want to fast track, we want to expedite everything. So this journey to the Akhirat also, we need to expedite it. In the short term, what can we do for ourselves? How can we secure that journey? How can we make the best of it in the very short, limited time of ours? So there must be a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that this is the thing that is most effective. أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمُوتِ. You are prepared. You are prepared. You are waiting for that time. Al-Mu'antami Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, if Malakul Maut were to be here and asked me and requested me, are you prepared? Say, yeah, come, do your work. Double up. You do your work. You see the preparedness, the readiness. I ask you by the same token, is there anybody prepared like that? Anybody prepared like that? Malakul Maut had to come here and say, gee, not for 4 months, not for 40 days. Life. Not life just in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Life in the Akhirat. Right into the Akhirat. Anybody prepared? See? One Buzurg, pastor person, that was sitting in between a Qabristan and a dump. In the olden days, up to the times we were studying in India also, every town had a dump. Now the dump, the various things would go into the dump. One is the sewage would be in the dump. Then the entrails of animals, like every second, third day they're cutting animals. They don't have fridges many places. So all that is dumped to one place. Used clothes all tattered, torn, worn out, they're dumping it there. Sewage is dumped there. Waste. All the waste is dumped one side. Waste, furniture, anything that is supposed to be dumped, all is dumped on one end. And the other end is the Qabristan. So this person is stuck right in between both these spots he is seated. So this Buzurg passes there and he says, what a beautiful spot to be in, to be reflecting. This is the end of mankind. And this is the end of his efforts. All your eating, your drinking, your furniture, your clothing, that was the end of it. Look at that. The beginning looks so rosy, so attractive, so marvelous, so exciting. But that's the end. This is where everything culminates, everything ends up there. See your end. Do you like it? Do you want to see it? Do you want to smell it? Do you want to embrace it? That's where you were. And this is the end of your human self, your human body. This is the end. Now reflect over this too, and it's enough for you to reflect. You don't need any third thing to reflect on this subject. It'll knock some senses into you. Something for the road. Al-Mu'ad Tawin Sahib Rahmatullah gave an incident. He says that one Buzurg was living isolated. Some Buzurgs are like that, they live an isolated life. If you see some pious person in your community living an isolated life, don't then accuse him. Don't run him down. You're going out in Jamaat, you're not doing this. That work is also good, this work is also good. I compliment, cooperate. He's got reason for what he's doing. The man has got reason. When he's got reason, why must you run him down? He's living an isolated life. He's not troubling anybody. He's performing his namazes. He's doing his obligations. So he's doing great for himself. You're also doing something good. But it doesn't give you the reason for you to run that person down. Like he doesn't run you down. You are doing dini work. Mashallah, your work is even better. That's also great. What he is doing is also great. He is not hurting anybody. He is not coming in anybody's way. And what he's doing, he's got support for it from the hadith. Then are you more intelligent than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabi Sallam has given him license for that type of a life. He has given you an encouragement for this type of a life. Should you discourage him? You don't discourage him like he's not discouraging you. You need all types of people to make that community work. And these people are just there, they're stuck. They'll come for the namazes, the masjid. They are like the pigs and the pillars of this masjid. They're keeping it alive. MashaAllah, wonderful, excellent. So he's doing something. You support him, you encourage him. But now, we'll go in a way to damage, to demolish and to destroy. Not a way to cooperate, encourage, mashallah, what a good piece of work he's doing. Allah Pak, give me tawfiq for that as well. We don't run the person down, we don't ridicule him, we don't insult the person. He's doing good for himself, you're doing good for yourself. But don't run the person down. So this Buzurg, he preferred to live a life of isolation. And then, based on your sincerity, Allah Pak will get people to you. You see, musk, right? Musk doesn't need to make an advertisement of itself. Like Coca-Cola needs to make a lot of advertisement for it to run. Eh? Say, for example, if they stop all the advertisement, you think it will run? All that advertisement they got, if they stop it completely, absolutely, no television, nothing, can't run. It'll go down, go bankrupt. So Musk doesn't require an advertisement. It stands for itself. Its fragrance will advertise. So people come and take benefit. The king of the time also came to take some benefit. Anyway, the Buzurg, he gave him one tablet. Anyway, this person took the tablet. The king took the tablet. And when he took the tablet, he got so supercharged that he finished his wives, four wives he had. All the dozens of bandis and slave women he had, he finished all of them. And he's still supercharged. Charge is just going on and on. So, some thought went into his mind. Hey, this Chachaya, he got something even more advanced than Vigra. Where he got it from? We thought that thing was charging. But this is something else. Where he got it from? So that doubts began to run into his mind. This Buzurg is seeing all in isolation in the sticks here. We don't know what he's doing up to. All the mischief he's doing here. You know these dariwalas and all. You can't have too much of trust in them. What they do in the quiet, only Allah Pak knows. Anyway, now the king, he can't even mention it because he's holding him in esteem and respect, so he can't mention it to him. But on the next visit now, the sheikh made out. You know, from the person how he's conducting himself, from the facial expression, you can make out. وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ You can make out from the facial. Everybody can't do it. Some person you can make out, alright. There's something he's got hidden. So he made out that this is what is in this person's mind. More or less you can see from his expression. So the Buzurg made up a story. He says, you know what? I had a dream that you only got 40 days to live. But don't get panicky now. You still got a son. You can put him onto your place, train him up and all that. Your kingdom will run. I'll make dua for you. Your kingdom still runs. But you see, now you've just got 40 days left now. You need to be very energetic to do some more work, whatever else, to put things in place and all that. So you take a 40-day dosage, 40 tablets. You see, you take this and it will help you throughout that period. Now he's there, he's got the calendar, 40 days. One day he's striking off, one tablet he's taking, second day he's striking off, and he's taking the second tablet. And he's going on. By the 30th day, he's already seeing Malakul Maut. 38th, 39th day, as though the Malakul Maut already came into him now. And now, by the 40th day, he can't hold his breath. He is so panicky now, he can't hold his breath now. Anyway, the 40th day just passed. I said, perhaps that Buzurg must have made a mistake. My calculation may have gone off. One more day, nothing happened. Now, at least he breathed. But after the 42nd, 43rd day, he came back to that Buzurg, you know. So now, that Buzurg knows what's going on. So he says, you see, have you taken these tablets? Yeah, I've taken tablets, right. Now I want to ask you that you have been taking 40 tablets for 40 days. In all this commotion, all this drama, did you ever approach any of your wives, any of the slave girls? No, not at all. I didn't even have the slightest idea about it. The idea also didn't cross my mind. So he says to him, you see, you talking about a person who's got a relaxation for 40 days. And you got 40 days and still that idea doesn't cross your mind. Myself, it's not a second that passes that this thought doesn't cross my mind. Allah Akbar.